Welcome back to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You want me to go up there? If the idea of boarding a plane has you running for the exits, you're not alone. Fear of flying affects anywhere from 6% to 25% of the population. The condition can be a phobia all its own, or a combination of others, including claustrophobia, fear of heights, speed, or death. A cottage industry has grown up around helping anxious passengers overcome fear of flying, but no one has brought the same combination of expertise to bear on the problem as our next guest.
Airline pilot Tom Bunn was part of the very first fear of flying program launched at Pan Am in 1975. In 1982, Captain Bunn founded SOAR, a series of programs to overcome flying anxiety. To better treat the condition, he went on to graduate school at Fordham University, earned his master's, then followed up with 5 years of postgraduate study in psychology. He was licensed as a therapist in 1990 and has since helped over 5,000 people overcome their fear. Welcome to Take Care, Captain Bunn. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. So, how's flying with you?
I think half of us here have fear of flying and half of us may have gotten past it, but we're just two. You have worked with thousands of fearful flyers over the years. So, in your experience, What are most people afraid of?
Well, it's almost like you can boil it down to this. You know that there are people who don't have trouble with flying and people have a huge amount of trouble flying. There's a part of the brain that releases stress hormones anytime we are faced with uncertainty, and that happens for everybody. Some people process those stress hormones unconsciously, and when they're processed unconsciously, very efficiently, it's like water running off a duck's back. But for people who don't have that built-in automatic regulation that works completely behind the scenes unconsciously, you have to do it consciously. And that's where the problem lies, because on the airplane, when you get stress hormones, you can't be quite sure what's going on, and you can't take any action, and you can't escape. So for people who don't regulate automatically, flying is really bad.
Is there a personality type that's more likely to be afraid of flying? Because obviously, as you said, some people are afraid, others aren't at all.
Well, I don't know if it's a personality type. I think that the research, I hesitate to say this because people sometimes think it's psychobabble, but there's really pretty solid research now that suggests that it's in the first 14 to 18 months of life that the system of regulation of emotion is built in. And if it's built in well, you don't have anxiety problems. If it isn't, then you will. Now, as far as personality types, then, if you do have to regulate consciously, you're going to be looking like you're a type of person who has to control things, which you do, because otherwise you get anxious about everything. So I think that the personality type grows out of the fact that we either do or don't get that early development of automatic regulation.
So for the person who didn't get that early regulation, they're going along in their life fairly well, and then something happens, or maybe it's gradual, they realize that getting on a plane is becoming their least favorite thing to do. How do you undo the wiring that was supposed to take place a certain way when you were 14 months old and you're now 35?
Well, what comes to mind is a video that we were shown in a workshop by Alan Shore, who's a major researcher in arousal and anxiety issues. And he showed us some video of a little six-month-old kid playing with mom. And something makes the child smile. And the mom, who's tuned into the child, that causes her to smile. And the mom's smile, perceived by the child, delights the child. And the child's delight then delights the mom. And then they just continue this back and forth, escalating each other up until they reach this crescendo. And then Alan says if the mom's smart, she'll let the child calm down rather than trying to keep the child at high level. So sometimes we talk about anxiety on a scale of 0 to 10. Actually, probably be better to talk about arousal, just basically arousal on a scale of 0 to 10. And what's happening between the mom and the young child is that they both together experience every level of arousal there is. And since they're doing it together, the child learns every level is okay. Now contrast that to a child who doesn't have that experience. And when highly aroused, there's nobody there to say, it's normal, don't worry about it. That person then is going to have panic attacks when they feel that level of arousal later as an adult. And the average age this becomes a problem is 27. And I think it has to do with when you're younger, maybe 16, you go out for the evening and mom says, be careful, you think she's from some other planet. Well, sometime between that thinking nothing can go wrong and age 27, people mature a bit and see, gee, something could get me. I need to be careful. I need to be in control. And the plane doesn't let you control things.
I just came back from a series of flights, a lot of them in a short period of time. And in one of the airplanes, I saw a family of four, mom and two kids, and on the other side was dad. And dad happened to be sitting next to me. And dad said to me early on, if you need to go to the bathroom now, let me know because I'm going to take. And he mentioned some sort of, I think it's a calming agent, shall we say, a prescription drug. And then once the plane took off, you know, he literally put his hands over his ears and he rocked back and forth. And his family did not seem very compassionate toward him. Is this a case where those who don't suffer from fear of flying really can't comprehend it in others? And what are the types of symptoms that they'll show? I mean, I've never seen anyone rock back and forth and cover their ears, but I guess now I see that. So what else happens for those folks?
Well, exactly what you're talking about. You see a person who gets the good built-in automatic and, key word, unconscious regulation. You ask them, why don't you have a problem with the plane? They could probably come up with something, but it won't be accurate. They don't have a problem with the plane because they regulate naturally. And they have no idea how they do it. They just do it naturally, just like you have an appetite. It's natural. And so when you have someone who's not regulating naturally, that's the only world they live in. They don't know that anybody regulates naturally. How come you don't have a problem with a plane if you're not in control? So it's just almost it's really two different worlds to live in. And one doesn't understand the other.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
And our guest today is airline pilot Tom Bunn. He began his career flying jet fighters, worked for commercial airlines, and retired in 96 and realized there was a great need and very many fearful flyers, and he wanted to reach out and help them. So he went back and got his degree in counseling and now has helped over 5,000 fearful flyers overcome their fear with a very specific program, which is online and also a book that claims no matter what you've tried before, you can soar. So Captain Tom Bunn, tell us very briefly, if you would, how you approach someone who really doesn't even want to get on a plane and really help them overcome their fear. What are the steps that you take?
Well, we have to build in the automatic regulation. And if you look back to how that example about the little kid being aroused and the mom's there tuned in, what we look for, because people don't remember that, we look in your adult life when someone was truly attuned to you. And what research has shown that when someone is tuned to you, not in a critical way, not in a judgmental way, but just there for you, even if there's stress hormones present, your heart rate goes down to normal. And your parasympathetic nervous system, which is the global calming system, it's activated. So we look for a moment when you got, as an adult, what you missed out on as a kid. And then we say, okay, go back and remember being with that person and pretend that that person's holding a photograph by their face of the plane taking off and then landing and then cruising and so on until we link up everything that's going to happen on the plane to that calming person's presence.
I had mentioned earlier about sitting next to a man who had taken a tranquilizer. And I know some people regularly drink, and I suspect they may be doing that to self-medicate because they're feeling anxious. How are these for somebody who feels anxious? I would imagine in the long run, probably not very good choices.
Well, I've heard, of course, the people I hear from is the people who these things don't work for. So they may work for some people. But I hear from people who tried alcohol that the anxiety, or the stress hormones cut right through the alcohol. Then they get off the airplane and they can hardly walk. There is some research on use of benzodiazepines, such as Xanax, Ativan. And what it shows is that they block desensitization. So as long as you're taking them, you don't get any better at getting used to flying. Well, that might not seem like a bad thing that you don't get better, but they also increase your sensitivity as long as you take them. So as long as you take them, you actually get worse, probably until the point where you can't fly anymore.
So you work with people and try to have them conjure up an image that they can kind of ally with some of the things that scare them. Like we talked, I wanted to just mention that people have different reasons for being afraid of flying, which was actually news to me. I would think everybody was afraid of the same thing. I mean, some people have a problem with claustrophobia. It isn't that they're very high up. They're not afraid of turbulence. They just don't want that cabin door being closed behind them. So how would they conjure up an image, an empathic image or a connection with a person that they could then kind of insert into their uncomfortable situation to help them through?
Well, the game really has to be played. Like any sport, you have to prepare in your practice. So what you want to do is set up the links between the door closing and that calming person, maybe 3, 4, 5 repetitions over a few days, linking up all the things that are going to happen on the plane to that calming person so that when you get on the plane, it works automatically.
What do you find drives people to seek help for this? We'll call it a disability because it can be. I mean, it can ground your career if your job involves a promotion that requires you to fly a lot. What makes people step forward and say, I need help?
Exactly. Many times it is a job situation. They'd look and say, I missed out on something where I could have been doing much better in my career if I had been flying. I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to do something this time. Or it's a situation where the family, you have to drive every time you go on vacation. Somebody wants to go a longer distance, so they want to go to Europe, and that's not something you can do unless you can deal with flying.
So you said earlier it's really a matter of conditioning, and you used an analogy like a competitive sport where you really just have to prepare. So when it's game time, you're not
it
first.
Works automatically.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So you have that first part where you're inserting the calming picture in your mind. Are there other steps aside from that that you use to help people overcome their fear of flying?
Well, there's some other things that we can use that will give a little bit of help, but nothing works as dramatically as that does. I'll give you an example. You could theoretically desensitize to something that's causing a phobic response. And if you can expose yourself very mildly to that thing and then slowly increase your exposure, you can get over it. But flying would be pretty hard to do that. I'm not sure if you could do it, it would be prohibitively expensive. But there is one thing you can desensitize yourself to, and that is the feeling of being weightless. Whenever you're weightless or when you're falling, the amygdala, the part of the brain that releases stress hormones, it's going to react to that. For example, if you're up on a stepladder painting the ceiling, if you lost your balance and started to fall, you're going to get zapped with stress hormones. They'll grab your attention and say, hey, forget about the ceiling, you're headed toward the floor. You know, pay attention to your landing or you're going to get hurt. Well, that's great. But on the airplane, when you feel that dropping and again and again and again, it's not very helpful because you get not just one shot of stress hormones, you get bombarded with stress hormones. So what you can do is you can train the amygdala, and I suggest doing this the day before the flight, to not be so reactive to the feeling of weightlessness or dropping. Go to some stairs with another person. Step up one step and turn around. Both of you on the same step, 7 inches above the floor. Put your arm around that person's waist. Have them put their arm around your waist. Count to three. Jump together to the floor. So for about a tenth of a second, you're going to be feeling weightlessness. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of time, but the amygdala is going to decide whether to react or not in about 18 thousandths of a second. So that's plenty of time to teach the amygdala something. So here the amygdala, which would normally say, hey, I don't like this dropping, that's dangerous, is now going to say, well, that was kind of nice. I felt this weightlessness being embraced and embracing this other person, and we shared it together. Then the amygdala is going to say, that's kind of fun, do it again. So if you do it a few times, you'll train the amygdala, at least temporarily, to not be so reactive to the feelings of dropping that you get in turbulence.
Airline pilot Captain Tom Bunn is the founder of SOAR, which has helped over 5,000 people overcome their fear of flying. Thank you so much for joining us on Take Care.
Thank you.